Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, we should resolve to think about these things. St. Paul is pretty adamant about that. So I'm guessing he'd suggest that we talk about these things too. Well, St. Paul, that is what we do on Call Me Catholic. We talk about the good stuff. I'm Peggy Normanton, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, a light and lively hour of conversation intended to affirm, explore, and celebrate our Catholic identity in these modern times, so we can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh yeah, you can call me Catholic. Jimmy G is awake today, everybody's favorite engineer and chief fact checker.
We both got blown into the studio this morning.
I know. It is so windy out there. It's like Wizard of Oz windy.
Exactly.
My hair doesn't like it.
I know that's a pretty normal thing for a lot of different parts of the country right now, but here in SoCal, it's kind of unusual.
Well, it's a dry wind, too. It's dry and forceful. It comes deep from within the east of here.
Not dry and lifeless like
no, I mean, it is. It's kind of like you think your house is going to be lifted off its foundation.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Like we have a lot to complain about. Hey, I want to just mention to you listeners, if you happen to be near a computer and you have any interest at all in seeing our little studio here on the Christ Cathedral campus, you can do that. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/callmecatholic, and Marvelous Matt, our call screener, puts up a link at the beginning of every show, and you can tap that link and it'll take you to a live feed of the show. So you can see our lovely guests that we're going to have today. You can see all our fabulous fancy equipment. You can see the back of Jimmy G's head.
It is a marvelous link, and Marvelous Matt does a marvelous job.
Yes. Okay. So check that out. Don't do it if you're driving. Okay. It's not possible if you're driving, but if you're home and you'd like to watch the show and listen to it, check that out on our Facebook page. Jimmy G and I are coming to you from high atop the Tower of Hope on the sparkling, spacious Christ Cathedral campus in Orange County, California. This is the seat of the Diocese of Orange between Los Angeles and San Diego. That's a well-traveled corridor between Los Angeles and San Diego, where we sit in the middle here. Lots of pilgrims sojourning their way through the sites here in the Southland, right along the 5 freeway. Now, in tomorrow's gospel, we meet a couple of sojourners on the road to Emmaus. Now, that's an even more famous corridor than our 5 freeway, far nobler, too. Not because, by the way, of the attractions you'll see along the way. That's not important, but because of what happened on the road. Now, what happens on the 5 freeway is never very important. It's always what happens off the freeway. On the road to Emmaus, it's what happened on the road. Now, you may recall, you'll hear about it tomorrow, that two of Jesus' disciples left Jerusalem and set out on foot to probably what was their hometown of Emmaus. It was considered the evening. This story takes place the evening of the resurrection. And Jesus appears. He's disguised as just another traveler on the road and begins to walk and talk with them. And still not fully understanding that this is Jesus, the two disciples invite him to stay with them in Emmaus because they were so captivated by him and by his narrative. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, that evening, it's in the breaking of the bread that they fully recognize that they're keeping company with the risen Lord. So there is so much to unpack from this biblical travel story, and you're probably all going to receive rich homilies on this gospel tonight or tomorrow. Fingers crossed you have a good homilist
in
your
parish.
Well,
the cool thing is you talk about it here on the Saturday show. It kind of gets us all prepped for Sunday Mass.
Well, we're going to borrow the theme of what we can learn on the road to inspire our conversation today on Call Me Catholic. Now, who doesn't love a good travel story?
On the road again.
On the road. Did you ever, as a child, because I know it certainly is dated to say this, but as a child, did you ever go to your friends' slideshows, like if they'd gone on a vacation and they invited you over to see slides of it? Yeah,
exactly.
So you'd sit in their living room, the lights would go dark, and you'd see all the slides.
Yeah.
I kind of miss that. Now people just hand you their phone and say, you can keep sliding this way. Mm. They're not the slides you put in the projector. It's just sliding your finger to see them.
Right.
But our guests today have their own, probably should have their own Catholic travel show. They are that good. Tom and Helene Markle, in addition to being a knight and dame of Malta, have been everywhere. I call them world explorers. They've been to all the major Marian shrines. They've run with the bulls in Pamplona. They've hiked the Camino de Santiago de Compostela. They've skied some of the highest mountain peaks in God's creation. They have forged rivers and chased wild game in Africa. And they will testify that the greatest gain from these experiences was the enrichment of their Catholic faith.
Wow.
Yeah.
So once they get their own show on EWTN, we could say this was the start.
They debuted
this
on Call Me Catholic.
This was the genesis.
Absolutely. You're gonna see. They have lots of stories to tell. You will be captivated. They'll be up in a minute to talk about how to experience life as a pilgrim and not as a tourist. Mm. I like this theme very much. And then in Chatting with Catholics, we have a different kind of segment today. I recorded a couple of people recounting their experience at Lourdes, which is a pilgrimage destination, one of the most famous Marian shrines. And their story will really touch you, I think. But first up, of course, you're all sitting on the edge of your seats in breathless anticipation of the Call Me Catholic countdown of the week, which, since we are in a traveling state of mind, is going to be my family's top five rules for road trips. We love road trips in our family. I grew up taking road trips. My husband grew up taking road trips. We instilled this in our son, this tradition of loving to hit the road in the big suburban and stop along the way. So it's always the journey. It's not necessarily just the destination. We used to drive to Wyoming every summer with the boys. Our family had a cabin outside of Jackson Hole. And so it took us 2 days to get there, 2 days to get back. And, you know, some of the most favorite family memories we have is being on the road.
Wow.
So we had rules, though. We had rules. We had hard and fast rules for road trips, and we enforced them during our driving. Now, here's what they were. So here we go. The Call Me Catholic countdown for the week.
The Call Me Catholic countdown.
You know what? It works this week, Jimmy. That music actually matches the Call Me Catholic countdown. We don't need the choir this week.
I can probably run it through a harmonizer and really slow it down.
No, this one, it works. It works. Okay. It works perfect. Okay. So number five, we go from the bottom up. Number five rule in the Normandin family road trip manual would be send postcards. You got to send postcards. It's really fun. They're cheap. You share your experience with your friends. And you practice handwriting if you're in grammar school. It's good spelling lesson. But I think it's fun. We had, when our children were growing up, we had one whole wall in our house on the boys' side of the wing, a map of the world. And so we loved getting postcards. And we would take the postcard that we received and we'd pin it up where it came from.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it was really fun. We're big on postcards. I love getting postcards in the mail.
Okay.
Number four would be say the rosary in the car every day you're on the road. And this is actually, I think my boys became really, really familiar with the rosary and the mysteries of the rosary by saying the rosary in the car. It really gave us great grace and great blessings on our road trip, kept us safe. So that was always a hard and fast rule. No variance on that. Even if the kids had friends with them, you're saying the rosary. It's your mystery. You're up, boy. What mystery is the fourth sorrowful mystery?
Excellent.
Whatever. Okay. Number three rule would be eat local. Now, this still is a big family rule. When we're on the road, we do not eat fast food. Now, that doesn't mean we eat fancy food, but when you get off the road to eat, we had a rule that you had to find a local place to eat. You couldn't eat at McDonald's or Carl's Jr. or Chick-fil-A. Those are all great, good food, good nourishing, cheap food. But we wanted to experience a little of the local culture, see what the local people were like.
What if you had limited time?
We ate fast. We ate fast at a sit-down restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you'd maybe go in and get takeout, but it was always at a local restaurant. I don't remember ever really breaking that rule. But we're kind of eaters in our family, so we allocate time to eat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was part of our experience. Number two is share the music. So everybody gets to bring some of their own music. It's not mom or dad controlling the music. At that time, we were popping CDs in. So, you know, the kids got to each play some of their favorite music. My husband got to play his, which was usually Beach Boys or Chris Isaak. I mean, that was the soundtrack of our traveling. And mine, I'd sometimes bring a book on tape. And so it was my turn. Okay, we're going to listen to another chapter from my book on tape. And it was a family-friendly book on tape.
Like Mamma Mia or something like that.
Okay, so I think that's fair, though. Everybody should have their chance.
Yeah,
it shouldn't be just dad and mom's music.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's how you also find out what the young kids are listening to. Okay, and number one, hard and fast rule, when we were on the road, you never miss Mass on Sunday because you're not home. Never. there is a church, there's a mass, somewhere, sometime, even if you're driving through Utah, in the heart of Mormon country, there are Catholic churches there. And it's a great, I mean, now there are apps on your phone where you can find out where's the local mass.
Exactly.
So there's no excuse, and it's a really important lesson to your kids. If you skip mass while you're on the road, well, why not skip mass because you have a soccer game at home?
I agree.
You had a slumber party or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's a really enriching experience because here again, you get to visit different churches and that's, there's great grace in that. So I know your family had some fun rules for road trips and you can share them with us on our Facebook page. Once again, I'm going to remind you, Facebook.com/Call Me Catholic. Join our family. Yeah, check out our page. Give us a like. It's kind of a travelogue of the Call Me Catholic shows. Pictures of the people whose stories have taken us to lots of different destinations. So our guests coming up next have some terrific travel stories to share, and they will all circle back to faith. Tom and Helene Markle have been everywhere, and when we return, they're going to share with us some tips on how to travel like a pilgrim and not a tourist. If you have some travel questions for them, the number is 714-282-6034. Marvelous Matt will pop you right into the conversation. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Bienvenue, willkommen, bienvenido. Welcome back, friends, to this special travel edition of Call Me Catholic. We are celebrating the road to Emmaus today in honor of tomorrow's gospel. But the road to Emmaus doesn't always lead to Emmaus. We can encounter Jesus on the road to anywhere. And as it happens, our guests today have been just about everywhere. Tom and Helene Markle, who are both a Knight and Dame of Malta, have made travel one of their top priorities, both in raising their now grown four children, and more recently in enjoying that empty nest period of life when it's just the two of them. Tom and Helene are always on the road to somewhere, and they certainly do not leave their faith at home. In fact, faith often drives their journey, both in destination and in attitude. Their motto is to live life as a pilgrim, not a tourist. Tom and Helene Markle, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thanks, Peg.
Thanks.
Hey, so Tom, tell me the difference. This is your motto, let's live as a pilgrim and not a tourist. What would you say is the difference?
So the Camino is one of those things, Peg, that is different for everybody. It was different for my wife, and it's different for me.
And the Camino de Compostela to Santiago de Compostela, which is a hike that you took, and we're going to get into that in a minute.
Right. So, and really this whole epiphany came out of that hike just in 2012. So we lived the prior part of my life as a tourist, and now this Camino really kind of gave me the epiphany that I can apply this pilgrim experience to my business and my community and my church.
What is the essence of that? Is it just being open to experience the pilgrim?
The essence was it took 7 days and then I got it. And then what I got was the fact that I may have paid for a warm shower and got a cold one, but I realize there's 5,000 people in the park that are sleeping under the stars that have no shower.
Yeah.
And I realized that as I could be more demanding, and of course, the more money you make and the more easy things that you have in life, the more you expect out of life. And so when you pay for something, you expect to get something in return. And so even though it was a hard bed or it was a cold shower or, the hot water didn't come on, whatever happened when we were paying for this experience, I realized that there are thousands of people not getting this experience. And so whatever experience I was getting for what I paid for was a glorious experience. And so I came away with, and by the way, when I wasn't, complaining and moaning to the front desk, people were smiling back.
Helene, you're his wife. Did he ever complain at the front desk? I can't imagine Tom ever doing that.
He was always looking for the best accommodations. That was his job. He did his job very well.
Did you stay at the little auberge or hostels along the way?
We stayed in some hostels. We stayed in a few hotels. We stayed at the albergues. We did a good mix.
Okay, so but getting back a little bit now to Tom's distinction between pilgrim and tourist, I think what you're saying is a pilgrim is a humbler way to live. You have no demands and expectations.
Right.
You take what life delivers, whereas tourists have an itinerary, have expectations. They want in-kind exchange for what they've paid for. So maybe being a pilgrim just actually makes for a better adventure, too.
Well, and also, it also says that all the challenging experiences come for your good. Mm-hmm. Come for the goodness of your life, not so that you're angry about them or you're frustrated about them. Because when you live as a tourist, you become frustrated when things don't go your way. You become angry. You know, you fall into an evil trap mm-hmm. of getting what you want. And it's a very selfish experience, by the way, having lived that for most of my life. So I really realized this selfless kind of, when you joy out of everything you get. So
I think the greatest distinction that Tom that I agree with is that to be a tourist, it's all about me.
Yeah.
To be a pilgrim is very relational. Go to a country, meet the people, especially on the Camino that you're walking with.
Well,
let's
talk about the Camino, because I'm going to assume, too, that some of our listeners don't actually even know what we're talking about here. So the Camino de Santiago de Compostela is hundreds of routes that all lead to the burial place of St. James, which is the cathedral there in Santiago de Compostela.
Right.
And people traditionally walk. I think you can bike it, but they walk this, and you can choose to walk as many days as you want, but it really is the journey, not the destination. So the people you meet along the way, the experiences you have. What was the greatest, how many days were you on the road walking it, first of all?
So about 30.
You walked 30 days?
Right.
Well, you did not the short version. You did the long version. How many pairs of shoes did you go through?
One.
Just one?
Just one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was I'm sure you did a lot of plans and a lot of studying. I see you have your very well-worn travel book with you. What was the biggest surprise you encountered along the way? Tom, I'm going to ask you that first.
Okay. I had three epiphanies on the Camino in that 30 days. The amount of pain, the blisters, mm-hmm. and the sore back, and you're carrying 10% of your body weight.
Sure.
Right, every day. But the kindness of people on this route is overwhelming because they've seen all the pain.
So the people that live and work along the route, not the pilgrims themselves.
That's right. And that's kind of two. I mean, the pilgrim themselves have all got their experiences. And finding that people, after a few days that did this for an accomplishment, they fail out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's only
it's
takes
like a
couple
goal
days.
They want to check off.
They want to
right?
check off. You mm-hmm. know, I climbed Mount Whitney, or I hiked here. But this is a serious, 30 days of mm-hmm. 15 to 18 miles a day, and you're doing it every day.
And you guys are very athletic. So even because you ski and
right.
you're very sports driven. So it was hard for you too. So Helene, did you have the right shoes?
You know what? I had really good shoes, but when you watch the movie The Way, when you see people's photos, you don't see all the uphill grinding. You don't see the hardness of the Camino, which is a really good part of the Camino. You know, struggling is a good thing. I learned on the Camino how strong I was.
Well, you went through the Pyrenees.
We did.
A lot of people start, closer to the destination than that. So you did do the rigors of the Pyrenees, which is mountain climbing, really.
Yeah. You get a couple Pyrenees experiences along the way. Not as big as the Pyrenees, but when you're 20 days into it and you got to do another mountain, it may not be the Pyrenees, but it seems like the Pyrenees.
Yeah, I know. It looks
right?
like
it's a Mount
Hill, Everest.
But, right.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's interesting because Jesus said in one of his admonitions when he was commissioning the apostles, he said, don't travel with anything. Don't take a stick. Don't take an extra pair of sandals. Don't take a tunic. Nothing. You know, just be completely dependent upon the kindness of the strangers you encounter. So do you wish you hadn't packed quite so much?
We did. About 5 days in, we said, well, we're not using our sleeping bag, we're not using the pad, we're not using a pillow, and we're not using several changes of clothes, so we packed it all up and forwarded it to Santiago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we dropped our weight about 25%.
Wow.
But, we did not plan a single day. Not one day, not one hotel, not anything, Peg.
Just the arrival point.
We knew where we were going, and we knew we were starting, and that was it. But we didn't have a hotel. We didn't have any accommodations, nothing. You know, this was one of the epiphanies, was letting go and letting the Holy Spirit in to guide the day by day and accepting the good, the bad, and the ugly, and enjoy. An attitude of gratitude, what I was trying to say.
That's it, an attitude of gratitude.
An attitude of gratitude.
Sorry, I couldn't help you with that.
And I think that's the pilgrimage piece of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, this is our travel show today on Call Me Catholic in honor of the road to Emmaus. And if you would like to join our conversation with Tom and Helene Markle, share maybe some of your travel stories. Maybe you've hiked the Camino or you have some questions about it. You can give us a call at 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. We're going to talk about other travels that Tom and Helene have encountered and embarked on. So you can throw any kind of travel questions you want at them. And I'm sure they're so great. Grateful I threw that lob at them. So, Helene, did you make some friends on the road? Every day, do you end up kind of walking with the same people?
You know, we met amazing people on the road. And the beauty of social media, Facebook, you know, people you could tap your phone and become instant friends. Yeah. Amazing story about a couple we met from Australia. She was a high school principal trying to decide whether to take an opportunity in Vietnam without her husband because he was not ready to retire and she was. So they were walking the Camino to make this decision. And we walked with them for several days. Wonderful. When we got home, get on Facebook. There she is working in Vietnam.
So she discerned,
you know,
that, yes. She
yeah, said, yeah, just beautiful people stories to me. That was the biggest beauty.
Well, you know, the Camino has been popular since the Middle Ages, and I know it kind of fell off for a while because of the plague and I think the Protestant Reformation and some other things. But it experienced this incredible resurgence of popularity in the 80s. And I wonder if it isn't a little bit of what you just described this couple experiencing, which is a desire to get away from all the modern technology, get away from all the modern trappings of life, and kind of clear your thinking a little bit. And I think you really do have to kind of purge yourself of luxury and comfort sometime.
Well, and you're not going to make it unless you have a higher power, unless you have a higher purpose. Because if you're just doing it to achieve it, it's not going to happen. Yeah. Because you're not going to carry a heavy backpack and sore feet and sore legs and you got to get up every day and do it because, you know, you don't have an infinite amount of time. Even if you were retired, you'd still want to finish.
Yeah.
So you're
well, Tom,
right.
How did you keep your faith alive on this trip? Other than just the experience of community, did you have tools? Did you visit churches along the way?
Yeah. One of the shocking pieces was as you get into this village, you get up about 5:30 in the morning. I'm repairing her blisters because she can't reach her feet because our backs are sore, and she's repairing mine.
Well, isn't that a sweet picture? I want to just sit and ponder that for a few minutes.
I'm massaging her feet. She's massaging mine. So, you know, so that's about 5:30 in the morning. We're out about 6, you know, and then you're hiking till about 2:30 in the afternoon, 2:30, and everything is closed. Everything. Everything
is siesta time.
It's siesta time.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a shock. You hear you want to go, you know, get have a drink, maybe have lunch. Everything's closed except the bar that has beer.
Okay.
And so I would put her at a church because every village has a church, and so I'd put her there. We'd have a big beer, and then I'd go off, knock on doors, and see if there's any room in the inn. Oh, I was really like Saint Joseph, just knock knock.
Yeah.
And everybody's knock knocking.
Did you ever have a moment where you thought we might not get accommodations tonight?
11:30. It took me from 2:30 to 11:30.
Oh, you're kidding.
To find one.
Were
and we
there
went
that
from
many
village
options?
To village.
Oh, you kept moving.
We just
forward.
Kept moving. We just kept moving till we knock knock. And I can really tell you that I was like Saint Francis. I had, you know, the Virgin Helene with me
Now I happen to know you have four children. Wow.
And so I'm trying to take care of her. And so I had this obligation to find a place to stay.
So you stayed in one place while he kind of went back and forth looking for places?
That was
to
our
stay.
Routine. Drop off the backpacks, have a little cocktail, and then he would go searching for our accommodations.
And you always wanted to get your passport stamped, right? Isn't that
yes.
part of it? You get a passport at the beginning, and then you get all the stamps at the different places.
Every restaurant, every hotel.
There
you go to a holy spot. All of the churches had their own stamps.
And what
quite
is
amazing.
Do you have a story behind the significance of the scallop shell, which is kind of the logo for this community?
A pilgrimage.
Yeah.
So you to be on it, you get this shell issued to you, and you get a passport.
Mm-hmm.
And then wherever you go, you eat, you dine, you know, you visit place, you go to whatever you get.
But if you look at the shell, all the different lines that go to the center are the paths that lead to Santiago.
Oh, very
cool. So there's many ways to get there.
Now, I had heard a story, maybe it's a legend, but that they were trying to bring St. James's body from Jerusalem to Compostela, and they took him by ship, and the ship was wrecked at sea, And eventually, St. James's body washed up on shore, and it was covered in scallop shells.
Oh.
But I actually like that imagery even better, Helene.
Yeah, I've never heard that one.
Yeah,
well,
that's a good one.
You know, the
whatever, Peg, it works.
Well, so now what are some of the lands you have not conquered? We're going to talk in a few minutes about some of your Marian pilgrimages, especially as a Knight of Malta. Mm. But are there some, I mean, having done this, have you set your sights for the next big thing to conquer?
Oh, yeah, of course. You? So my bride has an epic birthday coming in May. And so one of our pilgrimage or our bucket list is Machu Picchu.
Oh, wow. No shoes for that one. Hey, we've got lots more to cover on this travel edition of Call Me Catholic today. We will continue the conversation with our guests, Tom and Helene Markle. And when we come back, we're going to explore the different Marian shrines they visited and maybe hear about their plans for Peru, for Machu Picchu, what they learned about their faith on these pilgrimages, and more tips on how to go through life as a pilgrim and not a tourist. If you'd like to jump into the conversation with your travel stories, the number is 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. Questions, comments, we'll take them all. I am Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network.
Helping you navigate the daily struggles and blessings of life. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Hello, fellow pilgrims. I am Peggy Normandin, and today on Call Me Catholic, we're answering the age-old question from the backseat. Are we there yet? And the answer is no, we're never there yet, because life is a journey, not a destination. And according to our guests, we should all be going through life as a pilgrim and not a tourist. Tom and Helene Markle know a few things about traveling. Their passports are crowded with stamps from all over the world. Tom is a Knight of Malta. Helene is a Dame of Malta. You know, I have a hard time calling Helene a dame. It's kind of like, how you doing, dame?
There ain't nothing like a dame, Peggy.
Yeah, something from Guys and Dolls.
It's kind of Archie Bunker. Yeah.
It's got a dame and Runyon sounds. Sorry, Helene is far more dignified than that. But I know that Dame of Malta is a very, very important title. And I bring that up because it's very relevant to some of your travels. The Knights of Malta, also known as the Knights Hospitaller, have a ministry of caring for the sick, specifically the Malades of Lourdes, the shrine where Mary appeared to St. Bernadette. And you have accompanied, you've been to Lourdes as a Knight of Malta, and you've accompanied the Malades.
Right.
Tell us about that experience.
You know, before I start that, you talk about travel. So St. Augustine said, is that if you don't travel, you only read one page of the book.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think the good Lord doesn't want us to be comfortable in any way, shape, or form. So travel makes you very uncomfortable. Because you're discovering things that you've never been to, never seen, and talk a different language. And
well, so let's go in that direction. If you are someone who doesn't have a lot of financial resources, how would you suggest they travel? Because you guys have been, you know, you've been to a lot of places that would cost a lot of money to go to for the average person.
Well, we ended up like pilgrims in a lot of places.
Sure.
You know, the whole trip, the entire 30 days.
Well, now we're back to the Camino.
But I mean, the whole thing, food, all, staying, everything, $3,000 for both of us.
Okay.
So
well, but
cheap.
I mean, still, but I think what I'm trying to get at is that you can stay local and still be a pilgrim and still travel. You can get out of the comfort zones of even just the same church that you go to every Sunday. Drive to a different church.
That's right.
And, you know, you can take this pilgrim concept to your local region. You don't
Absolutely.
Have to get on an airplane and go overseas.
And there are many places, especially here in California, we have all of our missions. Those are very holy places. Those are small journeys that cost very little. There are holy places all over the United States. Holiest place on earth is inside our own soul. Take a journey within. Take a couple of days of silence. There's a pilgrimage all by itself.
Wow, that's deep, Tom.
We've camped everywhere.
Yeah,
mostly we're campers.
Well,
we
have camped with this family, actually, and we went to Yosemite when our kids were very young. And so
Your husband saved me.
He did save you from the Merced River where your legs had frozen in place. Tom's a great adventurer, and we did have the fun of traveling with them, with our families, and we had our friends, the Kingrins, with us, too. I agree with St. Augustine's concept, because I think traveling is community. You pointed that out earlier, Helene. And it's also, it's just getting us out of the familiar into places that spark curiosity, you know, make us realize God's creation is broader than our own neighborhood. But let's get back to Lourdes. I do want to talk about Lourdes because I know some of, in fact, if you have any questions or comments for our guest, Tom and Helene Markle, world travelers that we have here in the studio, give us a call. The number is 714-282-6034. 714-282-6034. Maybe you have walked the Camino. Maybe you have visited some Marian shrines that you'd like to share with other listeners. But right now, Tom and Helene, I'd like to ask you about the experience of accompanying the sick to Lourdes as a Knight of Malta. I think it's a beautiful ministry.
It is an amazing, amazing experience to, I think it's the best thing that the Malta group does, to choose people from our local area that have a serious illness and to take them to Lourdes, France, which is a very famous place for its healing waters. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of healing that goes on in Lourdes, but we put the people in carts. We treat them very well. I think the main thing that we do as Catholics is that we show them we love them and how much God loves them also. And Lourdes is the most amazing setting to do that in. Mm-hmm. It's done in community. And when we go to Lourdes, it's not just the California province that goes. It is the world province that goes. So we take over Lourdes for, mm-hmm. in fact, I think they leave next week. Mm-hmm. We take over Lourdes. So everywhere you look are the Knights of Malta with sick people from all over the world.
And are these people traveling with their physician assistants or nurses? I mean, some of them need more care than one of you would be able to provide, correct?
Every sick person has somebody that accompanies them, and then there are nurses on every team. Every team has medical. And there is a hospital there at Lourdes also. We did have to put one of our gentlemen in the hospital one time when we were there.
Well, I'm sure they're prepared for that.
Yeah, very well killed.
Lourdes is really an experience, and it is kind of a pilgrimage in itself, within a pilgrimage, because there's the procession at night where you're singing and chanting. Tom, have you been to any other Marian shrines?
Well, when we did the Camino, we started in Lourdes, and then at the end of it, we went to Fatima on my birthday. And it turns out, as I talked to my mother, she says, I committed you to the Our Lady of Fatima.
Oh, is that right?
You know, at your birth. And I said, wow, there must have been something providential about our trip down there, because we rented a car and drove down there. And on my birthday, we went to Fatima. Very different experience between Fatima,
very different
Rome,
destinations. Yeah,
you know, Santiago and Lourdes were the ones. And the one in Mexico City, we went to Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. And they're very different. Helene's been to Medjugorje to add to that. Kind of Marian, and I think one in France. So she's got a little bit more experience than I do in that area. But they all are meant for a different experience. The Lourdes is really the Olympics of the sick.
Yes.
I mean, it really is. You see everybody that's sick in Lourdes, and everybody giving, and it's a lot of action, and there's masses. There's probably 50 or 60 masses going on in every different language. And then they have the life-size Stations of the Cross, yes, which are in gold, and then they have Stations of the Cross on the field that are different.
Have you ever experienced or witnessed a miracle on any of your travels to the Marian shrines or somewhere else?
The miracle is that we're still married.
It's a living miracle.
It's a living
miracle. It's an ongoing
right here.
Miracle.
Wow. You're seeing a miracle right here. My wife has stayed with me for 32 years, or 33.
Very good.
33.
You know, we have witnessed. I don't know that. I think they'd be called miracles. We've witnessed many healings. Mm-hmm. I have not personally witnessed a cure, but I have witnessed many, many people get healed, especially at Lourdes.
Sometimes spiritually healed, too. Mm.
Truly. They're prepared for something. They're loved, and that's what we're called to do. We're called to love each other and take care of one another.
Well, and sometimes we think the Catholic Church begins and ends in our parish boundaries. Mm. And to get out there and to see the Universal Church is really just a beautiful, beautiful sight. Is there a Marian destination that you have in mind that you haven't been to yet?
No.
Have you been to Knock? There's Knock in Ireland.
I've been to Knock. Anytime we travel, if there's a Marian site close by, we're going to hit it.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
Knock, I was at Knock with my mom and my daughter.
You know, the order is starting to spend a lot more time on caring for the caregiver. And on this healings, you start seeing the caregiver who has not been really treated all that well by the cared person, because we found out if you don't take care of the caregiver, we don't have a cared person to care for.
Absolutely,
right?
True.
And everybody needs an advocate, as I'm learning now that I'm getting older and seeing my folks, you know, decline, and Helene's, And I think that you see a lot of this veil torn, like at, you know, Christ's death, you know, the mm-hmm. veil in the temple. I mean, you see this just veil just come off people.
Mm-hmm.
It's really amazing. They get in the bath and they walk out, and it just seems there's a peace.
Well, they are miraculous waters. Mm-hmm. I experienced that myself. Oh, yeah. I mean, Helene and I did do a pilgrimage with some women and Bob. There was a man on our pilgrimage, and there was Father who led our pilgrimage. But we had a little miracle on that particular pilgrimage when our bus broke down on the highway to the train station, and we were on one of those Italian steep hills, and it just broke down, and we were able to coast into a rest stop. But it was a huge Mercedes bus that carried like 30 people. And we had to catch our train at the end of the day. So they called for repairs. The repair people did not come. And so finally the priest, Father Vincent Gilmore, took off his habit, stripped down to his shorts and t-shirt, went under the bus and fixed it, gigantic bus, and got us on the road. I'm not exaggerating, Helene.
Now, the second part of that miracle was we had to drive so fast to make our train that we actually survived. Many, many rosaries were said during that
continual
hour.
Rosaries. Yeah. We no more small talk, no more sharing the souvenirs we'd bought for each other. None of us had our appetite anymore. But it was a little miracle on the road. And I think Father Vincent to this day considers that one of the miracles that might be used toward his sainthood someday.
Wonderful experience.
And Judge Bob came up to me not 2 weeks ago to said, I'm still not going to forgive you for not going on that trip with me. I carried all these women's luggage.
Yeah, there was only one man in our pilgrimage. That was really fun. But we touch on the fact that we were a little scared, too. I mean, it was a thrilling moment, and it was a little frightening, too. Have you ever been really scared while traveling?
I have. I am a geographically challenged human being, and I can get lost, and I don't know the language, and my husband walks very fast, and I'm more of an observer when I travel. So yes, I've.
You don't tether her to you, Bob? Tom, like with a little...
A leash?
Not a bad idea. I'll get a leash for Tom next time we travel.
Sure, because you're very vulnerable when you travel, and I think that's another real experience that helps you develop trust and faith. And, you know, whenever we're scared, what do? We start praying harder and we start trusting harder.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that you don't do that to yourself when you're living in your familiar routine every day. Tom, have you ever been scared?
I have been scared once of all these years. And it was with my brother and I took my dad over to Germany, where he was born at 75 years old. He'd never been back.
Oh.
And we were there in Vienna. We come out of St. Stephen's Church, and all these televisions show the Twin Towers coming down.
Oh.
And we had no idea. We said, what is this just a movie? Or, I mean, what's the reality here? And they said, we're so sorry. Your country was attacked. And they shut the country down. They shut all the travel down. And I was supposed to be on the plane that went into the Pentagon, because I told my dad, I said, I got to get back to work. My dad says, no, you're going to stay, and with all of us, we're all going to all go back together. So we were going to leave 2 days later. We couldn't leave for 10 more days. Wow. And my dad cried every single day because his father told him, promise me you never go back to Germany. promise me, the people aren't stable, la, la, la. His father was from Germany, first descendant. And so my dad was he just went into Kidsville, and it was a very scary.
You had to be the parent there.
I had to be the parent, yeah. I mean, I didn't want to do that.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing. You take on different roles when you travel. You know, sometimes you're the kid, sometimes you're the parent, sometimes you're the visitor, sometimes you're the tour guide. You know, Jesus also said when he was commissioning his apostles to go out and go forth and preach the good news, he gave them travel instructions and, you know, what you don't take and this is what you do, wish peace on every house. And he also said, if they do not receive you well, shake the dust of that town off your feet and move on. Have you ever wanted to shake the dust off your feet from a place you visited?
I have not. I can't think of a place that I didn't at least learn something from.
Well, that speaks volumes for your adaptability, your openness, Helene. I'm very impressed.
Well, we're in Africa outdoors, and we're sleeping in these huts. These kind of had a concrete floor on them. And at nighttime, we were right by a lake, and we had these massive hippos in the lake. And this was mating season. And it was, the ground was shaking and things. And I got my knife, and I had my shotgun, and I had my rifle there. and I had everything ready to go, and I'm not sure it would have helped at all. At least I felt a little more comfortable. But that was a moment of sheer terror, of not knowing if they were coming into our stampede our little small hut,
yeah,
you know, out there in the wilderness, and nobody would have heard a thing.
And I mean, you would have taken out
over
your pocket knife,
yeah,
MacGyver knife, and said, "I dare you."
not exactly 5-star accommodations.
No.
Well, and the other time, which is really wild, we're the last couple at Nordfeinstein Castle in Germany. We're it. And so the lady said, I just said to Helene, "Oh gosh, we got to find a place to stay. And the lady says, "Why don't you stay at the castle?" "What do you mean stay at the castle?"
"But of course."
She says, "Well, we have the maid's quarters are down in the."
She knew you were a knight and dame.
No, she would. This is
way long ago.
Before that. So anyway, we're there, and we said, "Well," we look at each other. "Well, why not?" So they put us in this kind of in the carriage area of the castle, and they had a light on in the hallway, and you see these feet moving up and down the hallway. I didn't know if they were feet or they were rats or, you know, and I had my knife out and I had my protection and Helene's there. And
my knight in shining armor.
Don't you feel safe knowing he's sleeping with
yeah,
a knife?
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a kind of a
wow.
scary
wow. Well, the stories never end. See, I told you, Jimmy G, they should have their own travel show, right?
We're going to send this to the big peeps at EWTN.
Yeah, yeah. The Tom and Helene show.
Oh, by the way, we have our rosary in our other hand and a knife in the other.
You bet.
We pray for the guy that comes in.
I bet you do. I'll bet you do. No, you are people that bring your faith with you on the road, and you spread it to others, too. I mean, I can testify to that. Tom and Helene Markle, thanks so much for bringing your pilgrim spirit to Call Me Catholic today. I think our listeners are ready with their maps, and they're planning their next trip with renewed zeal and appreciation for all the possibilities that can happen on the road. Thanks for coming in, you guys.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
I'm
hey,
back again.
Really fun.
Okay, so speaking of travel, it's always great to have a good little library of CDs to draw from while you're in the car to listen to while you're driving along the road. And the EWTN catalog has some terrific informational, inspirational, entertaining CDs to choose from. Go to EWTNRC.com. That's really the best Catholic bookstore online. And they offer religious gifts, too, for all occasions. We've got First Communions coming up, confirmations, graduations, weddings. Right now, they have a really super deal going on. If you go to EWTNRC.com, that's EWTNRC for Religious Catalog.com, there's a special when you buy the book, Mother Angelica's Answers, Not Promises. Every one of her books is a winner, but this one is Mother Angelica's Answers, Not Promises. And you also want to buy a 4-inch statue of El Divino Niño. You might recall Mother Angelica had a fervent devotion to the infant Jesus, the El Divino Niño. You'll save 20%. Woohoo!
Nice!
Everybody likes to save. So visit EWTNRC.com, and then you type the word bun. I wish they'd come up with another word, but bun stands for short for bundle, and this is called a bundle. You type that into the search bar, and you'll see this offer and a few other really great opportunities to get good deals. Okay, that's EWTNRC.com for all things Catholic. Okay, now in keeping with our travel theme today, because we are all on the road to Emmaus, I recorded a conversation with a couple who had a beautiful experience in Lourdes. Now, you just heard Tom and Helene Markle's perspective as Knights of Malta, caring for the sick at Lourdes. But this is the story of one of those being brought to Lourdes as a sick malade. They call them malades, which means sick in French. And here is their story. So I hope you enjoy it.
I was diagnosed with leukemia in the year 2006, and despite chemotherapy, the disease came back. My parish phoned and asked me if I wanted to go to Lourdes. Apparently, the Order of Malta takes a group of people every year that are sick to Lourdes in the hope of healing some of them.
In 1858, in the grotto of Massabielle, in Lourdes, France, a small market town that lies in the foothills of the Pyrenees, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared 18 times to Bernadette Soubirous, a 14-year-old peasant girl. She identified herself as the Immaculate Conception. Lourdes has since become one of the most famous shrines in the world, attracting more than 1 million pilgrims each year. There have been thousands of miraculous cures at this shrine.
When my parish called me, I immediately said yes, but I was very skeptical of how this was going to work. I knew about Lourdes, but I didn't know in detail just what was involved in it. The Order of Malta came out, interviewed me and my husband, and we were ultimately selected to go on the journey. When we arrived in Lourdes, there was a lot of commotion going on. There's a lot of tourists. The grottos were amazing and beautiful, and the water comes out of the grotto, and that is supposed to be the healing waters from when St. Bernadette had her apparition with the Blessed Mother.
Wanda's husband, Robert, shares his impression.
The grotto itself, the setting of the grotto, is a very holy place. In its starkness and its simplicity and the fact that it's built into the hillside, it's just beautiful.
It was a week of events that were very beautiful. At night in the grotto, there is one of the most beautiful processions I've ever seen. You follow behind one another. In the front, there's a Blessed Mary being held up.
I think the part about the procession for me that was just beautiful was it was about 10 or 15,000 people processing at night, holding a candle, singing beautifully. It was probably the most spiritual moment, I think, for me in my entire life. And it was haunting at the same time. And just to see all those people from all over the world that were sick and had loved ones with them was one of the most remarkable moments, I think, of the whole trip.
And I saw many people weeping from the beauty of that. First of all, you're placed into carts, and somebody from the Order of Malta pulls you in these carts throughout the city. And they called us malades, which is French for sick. And you go into the cart, and that's where you stay all day during the masses and the ceremonies. And at first, I rebelled against the cart. I said, no, I'm going to walk alongside the cart. They weren't having that. So I sat in the cart and just felt very self-conscious at the beginning, because the people that are surrounded near the grotto stare at you and wonder why you're in the carts and know that you're sick. And although I was sick from leukemia, I didn't feel I was as sick as some of the people that were being passed through in on beds with IVs hooked to them. In the middle of the grotto, there is a healing area where you wait to go into the water, and you're lined up probably about 2 hours before the water entrance opens. And once you are in there, you are asked to take your clothes off, and a robe is placed around you very discreetly. And you go into individual chambers that are marble, and it kind of looks like a big marble bathtub, and there are assistants on either side of you, and they take your robe off, and you sit into the water, and they dunk you into the water. You can first say prayers if you want, and they do pray over you. What I found to be one of the most amazing things at Lourdes is once you get out, you are completely dry. You go to put your clothes on and you're not wet. You're maybe a little damp, but it's kind of like this miracle water has come over you and has dried you on its own.
I got dunked in the water also, and same experience, came out dry. For me, it didn't feel that cold because I'm an old surfer, so I'm used to cold water.
I felt something inside of me when I went into the water. I felt such a blessing that God was with me during that time. And when I got out of the water, I felt changed in some way, although I didn't know how. When I got home from being dipped into the water, I went to see my doctor. And before I left for Lourdes, they did a bone marrow biopsy, and I had disease left in the marrow. So that meant I'd have to go through more chemotherapy when I got home, and that's what I was expecting.
When we returned from Lourdes, as always, we had a doctor appointment, and we never looked forward to going to the doctor. We were hoping to hear good news, but I wasn't anticipating any kind of miraculous news.
So I had another bone marrow biopsy when I got home, and I was called to come in to see the doctor. And when I got in there to the room, there were other people in. There were teaching assistants. There were nurses. I've never seen so many people in a room, and I wasn't sure why. When my doctor came in, he told me there was no disease left in the marrow. He knew I was going to Lourdes, and I asked him, what do you think this was from? And he said, I think it was from Lourdes, Wanda, and I think you just had a miracle.
Wow. I told you it was a moving story. I mean, this happens. And this woman's testimony is true, as the gospel writers say. There are eyewitnesses. What they have written is true. Mm, that's beautiful, beautiful.
Amazing.
And I love that little melody in the background. It's just so Lourdes. It's so Lourdes.
What a story.
Yeah. Hey, we are excited to welcome another new station to the EWTN radio family. A big howdy to everyone listening on FM 89.5 KBPG, serving Montevideo, Minnesota. Montevideo, Minnesota.
I love those call letters, KBPG.
Yeah, well, you can say it better than I can. That's kind of hard.
KBPG.
Hard-hitting vowels or consonants. Hey, congratulations, though, to Steve and his hard-working team at our longtime affiliate, Real Presence Radio. KBPG is their 16th radio station. So, again, a big Call Me Catholic welcome to all our new listeners now hearing us on FM 89.5 KBPG, serving Montevideo, Minnesota, the newest member of the EWTN family.
And radio just reaches those hard places, and you never really know who's going to pick up that signal and who can be touched by this wonderful program.
Yeah, I mean, we love that we're on SiriusXM, but these affiliates across 400 affiliates across the country that bring Catholic radio to their community, God bless you and keep up the good work. We
Amen.
Love you.
Yeah. Amen.
And call in anytime. Hey, coming up next, it always follows us on Saturday, is The Good Fight with Barbara McGuigan. 2 hours of really, really great conversation. Today, Barbara welcomes Dr. George Harn. And then after that, you can tune in to the Catholic Cafe with Deacon Jeff. He always has great conversation. He's going to be talking about breaking of the bread and how we see Jesus. So he's picking up on that Road to Emmaus theme as well.
Nice.
It's a good gospel. If you don't hear a good homily tomorrow, go to another Mass, because there's plenty of good riches there to plumb. Hey, mostly, we want you all to tune in again next week, same day and same time, for more good news from our good faith. Next week, we are going to be dealing with a very fun subject, Catholic comedy. We're kind of in Catholic light stage here now.
Nice.
Catholic comedy. We have some Catholic comedians coming in. So do tune in next week, same day, same time, for more good news from our good faith. Until then, I'm Peggy Normandin, but you can call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.